It can only go to flaming death from here.
Yes, of course.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week. But now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
You're listening to the needcoffee.com podcast. We are back again with the Weekend Justice as threatened here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League. We have a slightly diminished roster this week, but what we lack in quantity, we certainly make up for in snarkiness. So along with me on the line, we have Scott C., of course.
Hello.
Yes, our Minister of Naughty Bits.
Yeah.
And returning from a couple of weeks of quote-unquote making furniture, we have Mr. Tuffley on the line, one of our ministers of music. Hello, Mr. Tuffley.
Very nice furniture, thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was great furniture.
Yeah, lots
I'm
of
sure
hardwood.
Oh, hardwood, and I'm sure you saw it and went, oh, God! That's such great furniture!
I bet the shellacking went on all night long.
Oh, it's just it's the restaining.
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, I had to replace lots of drawers.
DIY channel, folks.
Oh, it hurts because I'm tired. So, okay.
What else is new?
Yep. That's what we got, the triumvirate of terror here. So let's get to the bad news first. We lost two. We're recording this Tuesday evening. Let's get the bad news out of the way first. We lost two. First came the news that we lost Anthony Minghella, the man who brought you The English Patient and Talented Mr. Ripley and such. I remember when I saw The English Patient in the theaters, and I remember walking out and just turning to the person I was with and saying, it's it, it's over. The Oscars, everyone else can go home. It's over for this year. So, but then again, I turned around and saw Talented Mr. Ripley when it came out, and I was just really severely unimpressed. But regardless, talented director and writer as well. None of us knew him personally, obviously, so we can't speak to that, but does anyone have anything else that they want to add for Mr. Minghella? Wow.
Yeah.
Resounding silence.
Not really. Well, Miramax will miss him.
No, the
Weinstein brothers will miss him, don't forget.
Yeah.
That's true, since they have been separated. But, yeah, I think he was working... I know he was working on...
He died pretty young, didn't he?
He was 53, always... he said.
How much?
I think he said... I think the article that I read said he was 53.
Still.
I'm looking it up, so... Yeah, it says 53 was the one I was reading this morning.
Yeah, what did he die of?
It was a brain hemorrhage.
Oh, shit.
Apparently he was having some operation on his neck.
And just hemorrhaged while he was on the table?
And just hemorrhaged. Apparently, that's what it's saying.
Wow. God, it's awful. So, and I know that he was, from what I read, it sounded like that he had finished work on his last project, number one ladies detective agency or something like that?
Yeah, that's the Jill Scott show.
Okay.
That's the series he was doing for BBC. So,
oh, okay.
It's a TV series. It's I think Jill Scott's the major star in it, and they filmed it in Africa or something.
Okay, and they had completed production on that?
Yeah, because they're doing the they were actually doing the press. He was about to do the press for it for BBC.
Hmm. Okay.
When he went into hospital, because I was looking at the article, and Jill Scott was making the rounds and had a comment about it.
Hmm. Okay. Well, the other major person that we lost today, which Scott just pinged me about shortly before we got into the hall here, is Arthur C. Clarke, dead at the age of 90. As I mentioned before we went on the air, he made a career out of trying to explain just what the hell Stanley Kubrick was on about. What was it, 2010, 61, and then there was 3001. So there's three. He wrote the book after the movie and then wrote three sequels to the book in an attempt to explain just what the hell the film was about.
Yeah, that worked out well.
Yeah, I don't think he quite quite made it. But
see, every DC comic after... No, never mind.
What?
I said see every DC comic after Crisis.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Nice tie-in from Clark to comic books. I like it.
Damn.
Well, he made that medium possible, didn't he?
Well, he certainly made a lot of shit possible. What was it? Isn't it Clark Orbit? Isn't that what it's called? Basically, didn't he, like, invent satellites or some crazy shit like that?
He came up with the initial concept. I mean, I'm sure, like, some engineer figured out all the nuts and bolts, but he was the one who figured, you know, we're bouncing this stuff off the atmosphere. Why don't we just put something up there to bounce better off of? That makes sense. But, yeah, he developed the initial concept, yeah.
Right. Clark Orbit and 2001 and Mysterious World and Childhood's End and Rama and huge career.
He's like one of the big grandmasters along with Asimov and Heinlein and the others, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So is he one of the last major grandmasters of that generation? Is he the last?
We haven't lost Bradbury yet, have we?
No, that's true. That's true. Thank God we still have Uncle Ray.
Yeah, I think
I thought we hadn't lost him yet.
What?
I said I thought we hadn't lost him yet.
No, we have not, thankfully, no.
But he's the only one.
Yeah, I think he's the last then. Uncle Ray's the last. But anyway, so that's a shame, but sadly not unexpected. Which leaves that I think the only thing that I mean, I don't know what other... We'll obviously have the whatever reissues of books and stuff coming out, but the only thing that I'm aware of that, you know, we were talking about the detective agency for Minghella, the only thing I was aware of that was associated with Clark that was active at the moment was, I don't even know if it's active, but, you know, Rendezvous with Rama, the film, has been in development for 10 years under Morgan Freeman's production company.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's just so big. You know, I read it years ago, but I remember thinking, my God, I mean, it's just so big and complex. It really, you wonder what you have to cut something, but what do you cut to make it work?
Yeah, last I read about that, it looks like, you're right, Freeman's production company, I think Will Smith had some interest in it. Which obviously says, yeah, exactly.
Well, and the last I heard was that Fincher was supposed to direct. But who knows? I mean, I actually saw a few years back there was some test footage of that where they'd done some CG work, and Freeman and company were presenting it at some, I don't know, some, if it was just a PR event or something, but we'll see. I mean, we're eventually going to get to the point where we have enough CG power on our desktops where you're going to get a bunch of kids doing it. So, but anyway, well, that's the roll call of the fallen, I guess. So, well, first of all, we just had St. Patrick's Day. That was yesterday. So, did, I mean, I just sat on my ass and worked. Did anyone actually do anything?
No.
No, I was cleaning up the desk I built. Shut up, Scott.
Didn't say a thing. Not a word.
Yeah.
Gets cluttered, you know.
Yes, of course.
No, cleanup is very important.
Yes. wet dry vac.
The metaphor that never ends.
Many uses. Oh, good Lord. So, Scott, did you do anything?
No.
Yeah.
Meh.
Wasn't feeling very green, I take it.
No. A bunch of my friends, what did St. Patrick say? Actually, it was kind of funny. My uncle was here, and he does, like, the Irish music thing with people, and I just, I gave him so much hell because one of the things he has in his play sheet is Danny Boy. And I'm like, that's just, like, so stereotypically Irish. It's like, you actually play this? He's like, yeah, it's, like, one of the standards, but it's also, like,
is that also a song for funerals?
I don't know.
Anyway.
You know, Danny Boy gets pulled out for a lot of occasions.
Yeah. So, anyway, well, another topic down the drain. What now, Scott, you wanted to talk about what we've, the follow-up to Civil Boar and House of Anemic, which is Secret Evasion.
Yeah, I figured I'd go with that because I thought of a couple other terms, but they might be a bit much for your sensitive ears.
What? Oh, the ones that I keep in a case so that I don't ruin them?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good.
No, I'm just looking at this, and I'm just wondering why.
Well, here's the thing. When I first read the concept of it, that Bendis had put together, I was like, wow, that sounds actually like it could be cool. Because, as Bendis put it, you've got Skrulls who are shape changers, and they're coming after you with big ships and laser guns. It really doesn't make a lot of sense. They're the ultimate infiltration alien.
Well, they just have a really powerful military-industrial complex.
which the Eisenhower Skrull told them to be aware of.
Exactly.
Yep. But no, I mean, the idea that they would just come brute force try to come at you really makes no sense. And what you've done over the years is come up with trying to come up with reasons why they can't do that, and it's really kind of lame. So hearing it presented that way, I was like, okay, that makes sense. You know, you'll probably get some characters rebooted, Iron Man, have actually had nothing to do with anything.
Well, I wonder. It the thing is, I actually got it as free. The Secret Invasion Saga. It's like they're get everybody up to speed on all the Skrull stuff that's happened in the Marvel Universe, and that was primarily done through Iron Man's perspective. So, if it's going to be a reboot on him, you know, as the main character, one of the main characters, that could be interesting.
How many more Iron Man reboots are there going to be? That's the issue.
Well, there's going to have to be one because basically he is a complete and utter prick in the Marvel Universe, and they have this, you know, movie thing coming out in a few
months.
Yeah,
he's a crypto-fascist asshole.
Played by Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. Well,
with your point?
No. Downey's interpretation of the character looks to be just spot on, in my opinion.
No, I've seen the trailer. I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so perfect. And that's something we can talk about. We can talk about that trailer versus Incredible Hulk, which I would love to get into. But basically, I mean, so the concept. Anyway, getting back to the concept of what was behind Secret Invasion, I really liked. But then I heard the basic premise is that the Illuminati, which is a concept that I don't think has really been used properly anyway, that, and of course that's that group that's like Reed Richards and Black
Bolt.
Well,
they didn't have Walter Anton, what's his face?
Robert Anton Wilson?
Yeah.
The Lifetime Achievement Award winner Robert Anton Wilson?
Yeah, they didn't have him handling it, so that's why it didn't work.
I would have loved to read Marvel Comics as envisioned by Robert Anton Wilson. That would be genius.
You know, he should have written the 1602 sequel.
Oh, God, would that have been awesome or what?
That would have been trippy.
I would have loved
that.
That
would have been awesome.
Anyway, but the whole concept of they went to the Skrull homeworld, you know, by themselves and tried to invade it. First of all, it's dumb. Because why would you do that? And why would you not bring any backup or anything? Why would this be?
Because they thought they were badass. That's why.
Apparently, and so that's how you had you know, well, if someone is looking forward to reading this and listening to this, I don't know what they're doing. So consider this a spoiler. But Black Bolt, of course, is a Skrull. So that's how that happened. So. The whole lead, the concept is good, and then the whole lead-in, I was like, oh, man, why did they do that? So, you know, I don't know. I'm not excited about it. I'm not excited about much, and you know, I haven't been for the big two in a while. You have that, and then you know, Grant Morrison can posture all he wants about Final Crisis. It's Final Crisis, just like the last Cher farewell tour was, you know, a real farewell tour, whatever.
However, with Secret Invasion, one thing that makes me wonder, you know, Patton Oswalt posted a thing about how he got a sneak peek at the first three issues of Secret Invasion, and according to him, it kicks ass. Now, my initial thought, because I've hung out way too much with Widge, is what Marvel movie is he auditioning for?
Well, it's not even that. It's just that you have to bear in mind that there are people who think Marvel comics are good. Now, they're deluded,
yes.
And they wouldn't know quality if it bit them on the left ass cheek, but they think that. So, I mean, you have people who think that... you know, who will swear by pretty much any comic book series. So my question would be, if you go back, what is Patton Oswalt's take on House of M? You know,
mm-hmm.
what's his take on Onslaught? I mean, go back and see, does he just think things are cool? Because people will buy into the aspect of, oh, well, it's cool because it is. I mean, it's just there. I mean, it's like years ago when I... especially these fanboy types that are now running Marvel and DC. When I interviewed Joe Quesada years and years ago, and he seemed stunned when I came out and told him that there were like two decent titles at Marvel that I was reading. You know, so the concept of somebody not being a fan of the company is just they don't know what to do with that. So the same thing of you've got people who will praise anything that they put out or just convince themselves that it's praiseworthy. So, and again, I don't know. Patton may be completely right, and I may be completely wrong.
Without knowing more about his opinions than other titles, it's hard.
Yeah,
to
exactly, exactly. But
I won't say...
I was just going to say, he doesn't strike me as the type of person that would stoop to trying to... I don't know, getting a Marvel movie by praising, you know, Secret Invasion, which really needs no celebrity praise to get sales anyway. I mean, it's going to get sales.
Yeah.
But
But you know, the one thing, and I'll cop to it, the one thing that I am, two things that I am kind of excited about, Ellis doing Astonishing.
Yes.
Uncle Warren finally getting a shot at the big toys is nice. In a continuity to himself.
Yeah, although what's funny is, you know how the, my understanding is that the continuity of Astonishing X-Men is kept separate because it was by accident, because the first series was so freaking delayed.
Yeah, they had to.
Because Joss was late, yeah. Joss is Cassidy. By the way, where's Planetary?
Yeah. I mean, what was it? There was one year where everybody tried to nominate Planetary for the Chazzies. But
yeah.
Our rules state that you have to, an ongoing series has to at least come out quarterly. So 4 issues in a year, and it couldn't even muster that, so it wasn't even eligible. So,
yeah,
I don't know. My thing is, I wonder, it depends on how far they go with it, because, I mean, if it's just a bunch of heroes, and they have to figure out who's doing all this, it's been done in a lot of other places. I mean, if they're going to do something original with the concept of, you know, who do you trust and all this sort of thing, I don't know.
I think the other thing is Matt Fraction is supposed to be co-writing some X-Men too, so I'm interested in that. Because he has been writing some good books, so I'll throw a bone to that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, individual books, but it's the, I'll be very glad when this whole concept of the event-driven comics companies finally goes back into its hole. Has there been a month at DC for the past 4 or 5 years where they have not been in the middle of some earth-shaking, universe-restructuring bullshit?
So is earth-shattering events becoming like death in the comic universe?
From a standpoint of, are they becoming as prevalent as, death and dismemberment and pain, torture, and rape? Probably. And
Jean Grey dying?
Well, that's death in general.
That's pretty much covered by death, but I see your point.
That's a special case.
Oh no, it's a very special case because it's just
yeah, but they've all done it. It's not. I mean, Jean Grey's like number one, but they've all done it.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times do we have to kill off Hal Jordan anyway to make it stick?
Hopefully, just one more, one more good time. The problem is that. The difference here's the difference, I think, between death and giant overarching universe-spanning epics is that, and by universe-spanning, I include something like Civil War, just that it spans the entire universe from a comic book company perspective rather than an actual, you know what I mean. But my thing is that with death, the thing about death is it's easily reversible. You know, in that same interview that I did with the Kasaya, he mentioned, he pointed out that Colossus's death was different from other deaths, because there's death and then there's like meaningful death, I think is how he put it, and that Colossus was one of those meaningful deaths that if they undid it, it wouldn't mean anything anymore.
Oh, and don't forget the cremation.
Yes,
that was important too.
Yes, of course. But of course, when they reversed Colossus's death, I posted that portion of the interview to the site because he said something to the effect of, watch, pay attention, listen to my words, and pay attention to my actions, or something like that. And I was like, okay, we have, and it's obvious that you're full of shit. But death is easily reversible. Now, the reason that I say it's different is because these epic things, they're not reversible only from the standpoint of they never end. I mean, like I said, you've had, I don't know how many because if you've got Countdown, and then before that you had Identity Crisis, and then Countdown to whatever crisis, and Infinite Crisis, and everything's been in a fucking crisis, there hasn't been any time to do reversals on things.
There isn't a status quo to mess up.
You what?
There isn't a status quo to mess up, because you haven't established one.
Or at least some breathing room.
Yeah, there's no breathing room. There's just... you look at... the X-Men universe is basically like a universe unto itself within Marvel, and it's constantly in a state of crisis, because you went out of House of M to what... wasn't that Extinction Agenda, or was that something else? Anyway, there's just been one thing after another.
I believe that was Messiah Complex.
Messiah Complex, yes. Kesiah Complex. Messiah Duplex. Herpes Simplex.
That was a Messiah Duplex with a lovely garage overlooking a garden.
That's right. But no, what was that? Oh, so yeah, you're absolutely right. There's no status quo to upset. It's constantly upsetting the non-status quo. So I think that's the only difference. I think the difference is that there's nothing to reverse because, they're constantly moving forward into crazier and crazier realms of shite. So, anyway, I don't know.
So, what do you think their big, gimmick is going to be for this?
What, for Secret Evasion?
For Secret Evasion. What big, ooh, look what we're doing that's supposedly going to be, interesting?
Well,
I know. They're going to kill Thor.
Too late.
We haven't seen that one before, kids.
What was it? We have to think about it this way. What they love is being in the headline, especially when you consider that they have two major films that are coming out, at least two.
So Tony's safe, at least.
We'll see. But, you look at, Captain America is dead. Was done primarily just to bring in headlines and get people to know that Marvel Comics were still being published. Civil War generated a lot of buzz. So I think that's a good question. I don't know I don't even know enough about the MU's details to be able to theorize about what might be coming.
I got another thought.
What's that?
The Steve Rogers that was shot was a Skrull.
Actually, I think Bendis has gone on record as saying that that's not the case. And the reason being is that he states that, people, we've seen that when the Elektra Skrull got killed, she turned into a Skrull. And when Steve Rogers died, he was still Steve Rogers.
Oh, they'll find an excuse.
Oh, no, Steve Rogers is coming back.
He regenerated.
He might have. No, I'm serious. Basically, Steve Rogers will be back and will be Captain America again. Just like, Superman won't stay dead. Just like Hal Jordan didn't stay dead. Just like, really, who's the only person who has not been brought back? Barry Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was about to say that. Yeah, Barry Allen.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure he's coming back pretty soon, too.
You think so?
I think that might be a partial result of Crisis.
Really? You know one thing that might be kind of interesting, although it's been done in a few other places, is all these Marvel superheroes are Skrulls, but they don't know it. Like Tony Stark is trying to figure out what the Skrulls are doing and everything, but he actually is a Skrull. He just doesn't know it.
I kind of like the idea of, the idea, not the execution of the episode of Torchwood with the aliens that activated and people didn't know it.
Exactly.
Kind of that idea.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It's an interesting premise. I love that idea.
Yeah, they have a little Skrull personality. Every once in a while they do something, but the people don't know it.
They're very deep cover. Wait a minute. And when they get activated, they turn into giant blue androids with Oh wait, that was done already. Sorry.
Yeah, that was done.
Well, I said it's been done a few places.
I know.
Although I've got to say, didn't Byrne do that during his FF run when it turned out Alicia was a Skrull? Wasn't that during Byrne's doing?
I don't know. If Ken were here, he would tell us.
I think that, yeah.
You know what could be another interesting thing? I think I mentioned this to Widge, is It's like we find out, like, a major portion of the population of Earth that becomes Skrulls. It's not just superheroes, it's everybody.
Well, what I want, and I mentioned this before, is that I want to see pretty much they go, all right, now! And all the Skrulls reveal themselves, and what they didn't realize is that they've really replaced everyone on the planet, heroes and villains alike. And so it's like, oh, shit, well, I guess we're done then. And it would be like this 8-issue limited series with all the ruse to do, like, 5 panels. And I would pay good money to see that. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah, they're going to do that. I know, but they're not.
But anyway.
You know, it could be. You know how they say they love to use, like, these things to, like, reverse stuff? You know what they could do that might be, like, a real big, ridiculous thing?
Yeah.
Is to they find that most of the superheroes have been compromised by Skrulls, so they find a way of reversing the No More Mutants deal.
Well, see, here's the thing is with House of M and with Wanda being in the limbo that she's in, they have a universal reset button for just about everything at this point, because all they have to do is Scarlet Witch back.
They have Franklin.
Well,
they have the reset button and the junior reset button.
That's right. And then if they ever want to do anything else, they just have Superboy pounding on the... Oh, shit, that's wrong. I'm sorry, that's wrong.
Wrong universe.
Sorry.
Although, if an intercompany crossover happened, Superboy could punch the wall between the universes and... Oh, okay.
Suddenly they find themselves...
I think they did that already. I think that was Amalgam. I think that was what that was.
You know what I want is I want to see Superboy punch through the walls and they wind up in the Comico universe.
Now, that would be good. That would be interesting.
I love how it took you a second to even process that out of your memory. Wait a minute. Go deeper, deeper, deeper.
I don't even have that in my memory.
There you go. See?
What is that? Some Voltron Robotech crossover books? Is that what we're crossing into? Or the actual Comico universe?
The actual Comico universe.
Oh, okay. Not the Fringe books. Good.
No,
good.
No.
That's interesting.
Yeah, Slaughterman versus Wolverine. I'm there.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so glad. I was really afraid that I was going to go so obscure that I was going to be the only one on the fucking call who knew what I was talking about.
You got one of us.
That hasn't happened in a long time. All right, so, well, let's do this. Before we get too much deeper into this, shall I reveal the winners of the 2007 Golden Chazzies?
Yeah, sure.
Go for it.
Yeah, what the fuck?
All right, so I will read the winner, and then I will pause for momentary commentary from the peanut gallery here. Yeah. So okay, for best fiction, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows by J.K. Rowling.
That's actually not a surprise. I kind of figured that.
Wait, that one?
That one, yes.
God.
Such
an obvious choice. That's what I mean.
What? You weren't expecting Crisis on Infinite Hogwarts to win?
Well, that's what I meant. It's such an obvious choice. I'd like to think we're a bit more, you know, what's the word? Oh God,
indefinable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh God.
My God, man.
Yeah, no, that is a bit obvious, but it's not like it didn't deserve it. I enjoyed Crisis on Infinite Hogwarts. I thought it was great. And that's exactly what I thought about. When he walked back into the room and everybody was there, I was like, oh, shit. It's just like Crisis. You walk into the monitor satellite and there's everybody.
And Supergirl's dead.
And Supergirl's dead.
Yeah, no, I didn't say it wasn't good. It's just, you know, and of course, now, when was it that she announced that Dumbledore's Day after the 7th book?
Yes, that's right.
Which sort of makes that whole train station thing a bit more interesting.
Yeah, here's the thing, with that interpretation... Now, technically, with that interpretation, I would love to see how they're going to pull this off in Harry Potter 8.
Oh, you know they're not going to... He's going to be fully clothed in that scene for the movie.
Everybody
Although
look at
I
that
wouldn't mind
stick.
Seeing
I
mean, Daniel Rett. I've seen some. Hey, I saw the publicity things of Equus.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
you.
Not bad.
Thick bastard. Anyway.
Nonfiction.
So next one, nonfiction. Dangerous Book for Boys by Conan Hal, I hope I'm saying this right, Igulden.
Okay. I haven't read it, so I don't
know. Again, that went kind of how I thought it would go. Okay.
So.
Not surprised yet.
Yeah, okay. Best album. Arcade Fire, Neon Bible.
Okay. That was a good album.
Yep.
Very nice. And again, if you're out there and you get to see the band live, beautiful stuff.
Okay, best song, Paris is Burning by St. Vincent.
Really? That one? Wow.
I take it that was... You weren't happy about that? Or
no, I'm surprised. I'm surprised.
We've surprised Tuffley on number four. All right. Yep. So, best soundtrack goes to Juno.
Okay.
All right. Best musical artist is Jonathan Colton.
Okay.
Okay, that was good too. That was. I'm surprised. That was good too.
We've stumped the Minister of Music on two out of the three music things. Excellent. All right. Try this one. Best picture goes to Hot Fuzz.
Yes.
Not surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good film, but not surprised, especially with us.
It's us we're talking about here. Of course we're going to go for the Simon Pegg film.
I know. But anyway. All right. Best director, David Cronenberg, Eastern Promises.
Oh.
Yeah, I kind of thought so. Because, again, it's us we're talking about here.
Again, when Cronenberg goes normal, what can we do but hand him an award? Best actor, Daniel Day-Lewis, There Will Be Blood.
Really nice performance.
Yes, it's one of those where, I mean, Daniel
he's
Day-Lewis.
Scary.
Oh,
he's
fuck
just
it.
Scary.
Oh, he is. He's even scarier in that than he was in Gangs of New York, and that's not just because Gangs of New York was a crappy film.
Yeah.
All right. Best actress, Ellen Page for Juno.
Not surprised.
Well deserved.
No, well deserved, but you know.
So you think with us, we just went for Kitty Pryde? Is that what you're insinuating?
Oh, well, there's that, but you know, again, there's. I'm sensing this theme. If Cody Diablo wins later on, I'm guessing there's a theme here.
Okay. Best supporting goes to Javier Bardem for No Country.
Awesome. Good choice.
Excellent.
Good choice.
Excellent.
Yeah.
He's a scary bastard, too.
Oh, yeah.
Best supporting actress, Kate Blanchett for I'm Not There.
Did we just copy the Oscars with our nominations?
With our nominations? No.
I mean, our awards.
No.
Best Picture went to No Country in the Oscars, and they won Best Director as well, the Coen brothers.
Oh, that's right. But I'm talking about the actors.
Oh, yeah. Best Actor and Best Supporting, we copied, but that's because it was so damn obvious.
Oh, that's true.
Yep. Best Cinematography, Roger Deakins for The Assassination of Jesse James.
Which is really beautifully shot.
Oh, it's
really
gorgeously shot. It's an overlong movie that's kind of strange, but
yeah.
Beautiful. Best Original Screenplay, Peg and Wright for Hot Fuzz.
Okay. Yeah.
Again, you're probably not surprised there.
No.
Best Adapted Screenplay are the brothers Coen for No Country.
Yes. Well deserved.
Best
well
Original
deserved.
Score is Johnny Greenwood for There Will Be Blood.
That which is nice. Beautiful stuff.
Yes, and was not eligible for the Oscars because they're fucking idiots.
Yeah, because...
Again, not
Enchanted right. So deserved that award.
I know, it was amazing. All right. Best Original Song is from Enchanted, the Happy Working Song.
Really?
Yeah. Wow, I just slammed that movie. Where do
you
I?
You just left that movie?
I just slammed that movie, so... Of course it wins!
best costume design was Alexandra Byrne for Elizabeth II, Reign Harder.
Yeah, because that was pretty much all I had going for it was costuming.
I'm afraid so. I mean, when you've got Batcast reunited again, and you've got the chance to do the Spanish Armada with against Clive Owen, and you fuck it up, not good. Best effects go to 300.
Better than 300.
Yeah, well, the whole fucking thing was an effect.
The whole movie was a damn effect.
There you go. Best Kicksplode goes to Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
I mean, when you vault across the fence and kick a grandmother in the face, I think pretty much you're almost guaranteed the award at that point. which I'd like to add, even though he's not here with us, Siege actually bruised a rib. No lie, he laughed so hard at that. But he's a sick man, so.
What is it with him?
Don't ask that.
Have people studied, like, the weirdest magnet that he is?
No, don't ask, because it's like the whole thing with Lovecraftian monsters. You just don't want to look at it, because you might see it. I'm telling you.
Oh, screw that. I mean, if all this is, all those things are tentacles, trust me.
Warning.
Is this like a Scott C. in Search of special in the making?
We've been in search of Scott C. for a long time. Luckily, we haven't found him yet.
He could be a Skrull, kids.
That's true.
Oh, well, please, I'm not that cliche.
No, you know what's funny is he's not that cliche.
Yeah, I'm not
even
some damn green garden gnome.
He's Shire is what he is. That's why he's got such feathery hair.
Wow.
Actually, hey, let me ask you this. Did you guys get an invite from Bendis on Facebook?
No.
That's funny. I did. And I went over there, and somebody had posted on his comment wall before me. They said, "I just want to let you know, Bendis, I'm not a Skrull." And so I felt I had to contribute. So I wrote, "Yes, I'm not a Skrull either. Just for the record, I'm Kree." So,
that is brilliant.
Why, thank you.
Although, unfortunately, half the people on Facebook have no idea what you're talking about, but that's okay.
Yeah, but it's like that on my site, too, so who cares? Okay, best ongoing comic book goes to Why the Last Man.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Well, it's over now, so that was the last
Did it get, like, the Lifetime Achievement, you know, It's Probably Going to Die Soon award?
Well, No,
I'm not saying it isn't good, but, you know, it is ending.
No, I mean, it actually wrapped up very, very well, I think.
I'm happy it's Brian Vaughn. Come on.
No, it's Brian Vaughn, indeed, but still, it ended well. It and, well, obviously Sandman, but it and Transmet are like the two most recent Vertigo titles to actually go the distance and end properly. You'll notice I very specifically don't have Preacher in there.
Yeah, that ending.
Yeah.
Sorry, Garth.
Sorry, Garth. Sorry, buddy. We still love you. Best graphic novel collection goes to The Complete Dream of a Rare But Fiend, Winsor McKay.
Okay.
And here's the thing. I would just like to say this, is that I Shall Destroy All the Civilized Planets that Fantagraphics put out is an amazing book. But when you got Rare But Fiend, which is self-published in a limited edition in this huge fucking book that's gorgeous by this guy, this one guy who basically said, you know what, I'm going to publish a giant fucking collection of this strip. You have to go, dude, you're insane, and we respect that. So, but that being said, everyone please go out and read I Shall Destroy All the Civilized Planets, because it's fucking hilarious, and it's just, you would think they made that shit up, but they didn't.
Yeah, we know better.
Yep. Best comic book writer, so toughly you'll be pleased, Brian Vaughn for Why.
Thank you. And he also did the second Buffy storyline, which is
very true. Very true.
Is that the one where Buffy goes where no man has gone before?
Sure, why not?
Oh, you know, one of the big little mini things is, like, Buffy ends up in bed with another girl.
No, that's the current storyline, but thanks for playing. Seriously, it is. Seriously, it is.
No, I know that, but, you know, still, Buffy.
He just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
No.
But
Scott and titillation. Shocking.
No pun intended. All right, best comic book artist.
So way to go, Brian K. Vaughan.
Yes.
Did we ever decide if we were going to rename that the Uncle Warren Comic Book Writing Award?
He's won it like 3 times, hasn't he?
Well, it seems like every time we do it, it's like we just say, okay, he's in.
Yeah,
the Uncle Warren Honorary... not memorial, but...
Well, you know what it is? It's kind of like, it's one of those things where either Daniel Day-Lewis or Glenn Close has an acting role. You just figured, well, they're in. Now, who's the other four? best comic book artist is David Asia for Immortal Iron Fist.
Okay, I was on the fence about that one.
Yeah, it's...
When it went to final, I was on the fence about that one.
Yeah. Lots of fences.
Yeah.
Best DVD single title goes to Blade Runner.
The ultimate, we swear to God, it's the final version we're ever going to put out ever again.
Dude, speaking of someone who owns that edition, I don't know what the fuck else you could possibly... Of all the DVDs I own, that is the one that I'm like, yes, they're done now.
You know they're not.
Dude, you no, don't know what this not. Is. You don't know what... Do you know what's on this?
They'll
it's
find
like
something.
4 complete versions of the movie, at least.
Are you kidding? No, you're underestimating corporate greed. They'll find something.
You know, I'm pretty sure when Ridley Scott's Monopoly bombs at the box office, he's going to find a can of film that has something related to Blade Runner in it.
You know, I tell you what, I'll be the first to say that you told me so. But I'm just saying, of all the DVDs I own, I mean, because even you look at, you know, they're constantly double-dipping. They've dipped a few times on Blade Runner. This fucking thing has got so much shit on it. I mean, I can't think... How many other... Let me just ask you this, because you guys would know. How many other films have come out with, like, a 5-disc set that has 4 different fucking versions of the film on it? Have we ever seen that before? I mean, 2 easy, okay, 3 maybe, but 4? I think it's 4. I think one of the discs is nothing but special features. Anyway.
Well, there was a Gone with the Wind set, but that doesn't count, does it?
No, it was like 4 discs, but I think it was just one version of the film.
Yeah, that's the closest one I can think of is the Gone with the Wind set that was out a few years ago.
Yeah, and not even like, because remember, I think like the Wizard of Oz Ultimate set had 3 different versions of the film, but they were different films, you know what I mean? Like 2 different versions of the film before that version was made, like a silent version. I'm talking about the same fucking movie. So anyway, I've been so busy, I've only gotten through like a disc and a half. There's so much shit on there. Hell, the first version of the movie's got like 3 commentaries or something. It's insane. Anyway, best DVD box set, Planet Earth.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's pretty
cool. Totally deserved it.
Yep.
It will compel you to buy HD.
I'm telling you, and this amazes me every time I go into like a Best Buy or anywhere that's got
absolutely
HD televisions. Why aren't they playing on repeat Planet Earth and Blue Planet? If you had
I know they did when it was first released, but then they threw on some John Mayer thing and completely blinded everyone.
I think they just don't think it's enough. They think they need like the kick explode.
Well, that's fine. That's all well and good, but anyway. All right.
Hang on, Michael Bublé is not Geeksplode. I'll flip this back, okay?
Well, every time I go in there, they're playing something, you know, with explosions and shit. So.
Although, if Michael Bublé was to, like, explode, that would be awesome.
That would be great.
I'd do that pay-per-view. All right. Best audiobook, Illuminatus Trilogy Part 1.
Okay.
Yes, quite good. I am pleased about that myself. Best TV drama goes to Dexter.
Hmm, okay.
Best TV comedy is QI.
Mm-hmm.
QI, okay.
Yeah, best TV actor in a drama is John Sim for Life on Mars.
Yes.
Yep, I was pleased about that one. Best TV actress in a drama is Kira Sedgwick for The Closer.
Really?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes, her second win.
Interesting.
Best TV actor in a comedy is Stephen Fry for QI.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yep. Best TV actress in a comedy is Tina Fey for 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's at least her second win. And best video game is Portal.
And totally deserves it.
Really? I would have thought Bioshock might have gotten in.
Well, when you consider that Portal was this, as Doc has explained it to me, this throwaway bonus game on the Orange Box that has blown everyone away, turned into a meme, and has a Jonathan Colton song as a theme that's now become part of Rock Band because it's so fucking popular. I mean, sometimes people just want to open holes in things as opposed to going through a sci-fi Irwin Allen version of Atlas Shrugged.
I don't know, though.
But you're looking for cake.
Yes, and you're looking for cake.
What kind of cake?
There's cake.
Yes, what? There's cake.
What, you need?
What kind of cake?
No, not tasty cake as in the company, but tasty cake.
What is it? Carrot cake? Chocolate cake? What?
Oh, it's the best kind.
It's the promise of a new cake.
I know.
Here's the thing. It looks like, and the brilliant part about the game, it looks like it should be stupid as crap, you know?
It looks like just another puzzle game. Stupid.
Yeah, it looks like it should be completely stupid, and you start playing it, and it becomes crack. It's just great.
So the thing is that the Chazzies, because we are such diverse bastards, the Chazzies will never please us all. In fact, there's been some years where I just went, oh, and it pained me to have to write down. And here's the thing. I do the tallying and stuff like that, but I have no hand in the shit because there's usually something in there. Like I said, it pains me to write. I'm trying to think of the last time that I was just like, that I was just in torn up about it.
Was this the year that Outkast won everything?
Yeah. No. I was pleased with that. I enjoyed that. They swept the music awards, and I thought they had some great shit. I'm trying to think of what it was. It was something where it was like, it was very obvious that the nominations had... It was something that I think Johnny Depp was in. Maybe it was like Pirates 2 or something. And I was just like, oh, no. I can't remember, though. I cannot remember. But anyway.
Willy Wonka, maybe?
I don't know. I don't remember. But every year, there's generally something that I just go, oh, damn. So... But, it can't please all of us.
I did that at the nomination phase with Torchwood. How the hell did Torchwood get in Best Drama?
As opposed to what?
Yeah.
As opposed to not being in. As opposed to not.
Well, it just shows the scarcity of good, drama in general. Excuse me.
We've worn out Scott.
Wow.
No, I can go on for hours.
Because I looked at that and went, wow, really? We nominated that? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I did that in the nomination process.
You what?
I usually look at the nomination process and occasionally I go, really? We came up with that? Really?
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
But, strange things get in there.
But it keeps it fun. It keeps it interesting.
Yes, yes. All right, so, well, we've gone over a bit. Does everyone want to throw out some quick recommendations so we can get the fuck out of here?
Yeah, I'll go. I'll go first.
Go ahead.
Since I haven't been here in a while.
That's true. Mike would like to recommend IKEA.
I'd like to recommend IKEA. And if you'd like to send me furniture, IKEA, you feel free to do that. And
they are flat packed, so it's easy to send.
In fact, the entire country of Sweden, I'd like to recommend.
That's right. Tuffley really likes to get flat packs.
Okay.
So I've
got a book. It's called The Best Actors in the World. It's about Shakespeare and his acting company. And it basically goes through and chronicles the actors in Shakespeare's acting troupe, the Chamberlain's Men. Very interesting stuff. And the interesting part is that it is to put the plays in sort of a chronological order based on which actors were in the troupe at which time. Which is really interesting, and I'm getting into it. It's a really good book. On the music side of the fence, I've been listening, so Rob didn't get these the last time I was in. I have the Ravenettes' new album, Lust, Lust, Lust. Always a big fan of the Ravenettes, and really, really awesome stuff. Really good album. And on the reissue front, Killing Joke's got a couple of reissues that have come out in coincidence with the passing of Paul Raven recently. Some of the albums that he was in the lineup on, Nighttime and Fire Dances, are out, and those are good. And then they dropped a couple with the original lineup in I'll go with a later one, Pandemonium from 94 is a good album from Killing Joke. And Sunshine is on DVD. Go get it, please.
Okay. Scott, what have you got?
Well, something that's been a book that's coming out, it's called Infected by Scott Sigler. And what's interesting about this book is...
Infected by Scott who?
Sigler.
Okay, just checking.
No, what's interesting about this is it came out as a free audio podcast originally. But this is like the first book out that format to really become, really get, to be put out by a major publisher and in hardback and all that. So it shows that maybe giving away stuff for free isn't like the worst thing in the world.
Well, I always like to hear that.
I thought you would. That's why
I
brought it up.
Yeah, thank you. All right, for my pick, I will have this, which Cosette read before me. It's How to Survive a Horror Movie, the book by Seth Graham Smith, with a foreword by Wes Craven, where he apologizes to all of the characters that he's offed during his career. I'll just read you a quick bit here. These are warning signs that you might be in a sequel, and I think we've all been through this. You're attending a nondescript college in an unidentified state, and your friends keep saying things like, "Can you believe we're in college now?" You have shaky black and white flashbacks of someone else's unhappy childhood. Corbin Burnson is your father.
Oh.
You're in space. You're in 3D. You have the oddest feeling that you're only here for the money. It's a funny fucking book.
What's it called again?
It's called How to Survive a Horror Movie. And that takes you through all the various...
But does it say how to be, like, the main villain in a horror movie?
No, that's probably going to be the follow-up. Just like the guy who wrote the book on how to survive a robot uprising, then turned around and wrote a book on how to create a robot army to defend yourself.
Yeah, I just picked that up.
Yeah, how is it? I like the first one.
It's very interesting. It's like how to reprogram, like, your robotic, like, vacuum cleaner to kill people.
Well, to kill people or to... I thought it was to defend humanity, but maybe they're...
Well, it depends on what you're defending against.
Gotcha. Yeah, what I liked about the... I listened to the audiobook. I think Blackstone Audio put it out. And the guy that they had doing it sounded like he could do movie trailers. So everything had some great gravitas to it. Talking about the fall of mankind, and it was just—it was really great. It's just—it—it it took a book that was supposed to be, you know, not really taken seriously and made you kind of want to take it seriously, which made it even funnier. So,
well, that's just you, Witch.
Yeah,
you
want
to be in a zombie apocalypse?
No, I really don't. I really don't. No, I don't. Because remember, what kills you in a zombie apocalypse?
The virus.
No. What gets you killed in a? I've taught you people nothing. See, this is why I don't want to be in a zombie apocalypse. Because you fuckers will get killed first. What kills you in a zombie apocalypse?
Is that like having, is like the virgin having sex or something?
No! Other people! People are what gets you killed in a zombie apocalypse, not zombies!
What, zombies don't kill people? People kill people?
Yes, exactly! Have you not watched any zombie movies? Fuck's sake!
Yes, I've seen zombie movies where the zombies eat people.
No,
that's what they
do! The whole point is, Night of the Living Dead, they're in a house together. If they would quit squabbling and work together, they'd be fine. They don't. They get killed. Sorry for the spoilers. Dawn of the Dead, they're in a mall. If they could just work together and deal with their shit, they would be fine, but they don't, and they get killed. And Day of the Dead, they're perfectly safe underground. If they could just work together and put aside their differences, they would be fine, but they don't, and they get killed.
Paid for by friends of John Romero.
Yeah, it's perfect. Now, granted, you get into Land of the Dead, where he kind of veers, but that's pretty much it. And if you read Walking Dead, the excellent fucking comic book that captures everything that you would want about zombie movies and puts it into a comic book, basically a story that doesn't end, and I'd like to say that Kirkman is one of the most brutal fucks who has ever written a comic book, because, Jesus Christ, he has less respect for his characters than George R.R. Martin, for God's sake. But that's the point in there. It's people that you have to be concerned about. Zombie movies are movies about people and humanity. So.
See, this is why you need How to Survive, How to Build a Robot Army.
Oh, God.
No, because that's the thing. This is like, it shows you how to build robots to take out zombies, so you don't have to rely on people.
Yeah, and that's great. And then I have to worry about Skynet. I mean, come on. I've taught you people nothing. We're all going to die. On that note...
Okay, wait. The thing is about Skynet... The thing is you forget about Skynet. It's never going to happen. You know why? Because it's being built by military contractors. People who make stuff for the lowest common, the lowest bid. Ain't going to happen.
No, Apple will do it.
Then it would at least be sexy looking and kill us.
It'll at least be nice looking. It'll be a sexy looking apocalypse.
It's got such a nice UI on it.
It's a phone!
It's got a click wheel and it's killing me.
Thanks, Steve.
It's the i1000.
The thing is, it wouldn't be able to access any other computers, though. It would only take over Macs, and then we're safe, because hardly anybody uses one.
But you can run Windows on a Mac.
And see, the worst part about, you know, the IT-2000 would be, you know, it kills you, and while it's killing you, it's playing Feist 1-2-3-4 over and over.
And the other thing is, that it's not... It's not just killing you, but you could probably fix it. But the graphics would look great, and also the music would sound great. You could edit it.
Ooh, pretty bad.
I'm killing you with Power Pro Tools. Jesus Christ. All right. So on that note of impending doom.
Yeah.
Can't believe.
Good night, Kit Fern. Sleep safe.
That's right. I can't believe you failed the zombie quiz. It's a one-question quiz! I've taught you nothing. Anyway, all right. So, we've gone well over. So
zombies don't kill people.
Whatever.
No,
anyway.
Comico kills people. Comico kills people, children.
The zombie comic book company. That's what I want.
I thought that was Marvel.
I want a skit in which comic book companies rise up from the dead, led by Valiant and CrossGen, and kill us all.
Yeah, you get right on that, Widge.
Yeah, I'm all over it. Anyway, all right, we will go away now and let you people get on with your weekend. So, all right, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Enjoy.
Bye. Yeah. Sleep well, Pittsburgh. Bye. And we're out.
Beautiful.
Oh, good Lord.
Anyway,
well, cogitate upon it and think on it. Because... You there? Lord.
Oh, my God, they're listening.
I'm not sure what the hell's happening.
We're really, really sorry, Mr. Robert.
We're sorry. Don't kill us.
Don't send Geraldo after us.
We lost Scott. They've taken Scott. Oh, no. Wait, what am I saying? Oh, thank God. Hope they remember to feed him.